The story of how Mimi Elrod went from university president's wife to mayor of Lexington is one of personal reinvention. Her late husband, Washington and Lee President John Elrod, died unexpectedly in 2001. At the time, Mimi says, they were happily ensconced in the president's house, originally built as a residence for Robert E. Lee.
We're both outgoing people, so to have people in the house, to have things going on, to be involved with people and be busy with that was, he really did all the work. I just sort of went along and had a lot of fun. But it suited our personalities, and we loved it. Plus, we had a staff. that was just a little lenyap, as my mother would say. That, I had a friend that said, did they make up the bed for you? Yeah, they did.
And this was Robert E. Lee's house.
This is Robert E. Lee's house.
How did that feel?
Well, it's interesting. I grew up in Atlanta, and a lot of people had talked about Robert E. Lee a lot. My family did not. My family sort of had a change of heart in probably the 40s before I was born, and moved from being sort of segregationist, if you will, to people who believed that integration was right, and they took on a very different perspective. So we did not talk about the Civil War or Robert E. Lee. And then when we moved to Lexington, when John and I moved to Lexington, and he was a dean then, and then into the Lee House, we both became very interested in Lee and read. He read a lot. I read some books about him. And I gained a lot of respect for Robert E. Lee. I saw him in a different way from just sort of the stereotype view of Robert E. Lee as the general. And I'm not even sure that a lot of people in the South who love Robert E. Lee knew that much about what he was about. So our feelings about him grew, and I think were positive for the most part. He was a person of his time. You wouldn't agree. I wouldn't agree with him today, most likely, about a lot of issues.
Well, he might not agree with him today.
He might. I don't think he would, yeah. And I think that's a very good point.
You're talking about changing directions, your family changing from segregationist to thinking this was wrong in the 40s.
Yeah,
and here you are, social Mimi, tagging along with your social husband, living in the Lee House with a staff. And here you are today, mayor of Lexington, which is a lot of work. How'd that happen?
I think the way it happened was I grew up in a large family, and I was the last of five. My brothers were a lot older. I'm giving you a lot of history here.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. We lived in Atlanta. My brothers both started at Emory University, and they would bring their friends home. And the topic of conversation, no matter who was in our house, was often politics and religion. We would argue. We would argue with the guest, and everybody loved each other. So you could argue and fight and yell and push your point, but you knew that an argument was different from your relationship in some way. But that's all to say that I grew up in a family where giving back, I don't mean to sound sanctimonious or pious, but it was important to give back. That's just what you did.
Mm-hmm.
We entertained a lot of international students, and we had a lot of people in our house, as I said, and it was just an open, giving community within our family. That just influenced me. My mother never was employed, and she volunteered a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 13, I guess, she took me to volunteer at one of the first Head Start schools that was integrated in Atlanta. And, she said, you're just going to do this. I mean, I didn't think of saying, no, I won't. But anyway, there was that part of me that was really big. I saw my mother had been involved. She volunteered. My father did also. They worked to keep the schools open in the South in the 50s. Others of my friends were seeking private schools at that point, but they were really working hard to keep the
schools
open.
But you stayed in public school.
Yes, my father's a great believer in public schools, and he was a great believer in education. I'm one of four of us have PhDs. So anyway, that's getting off the track.
There is no track, maybe.
There is no track, okay. But I think there's one more element in it. When I was young, my vision of myself was I would go to college for 4 years. I would work for two. I would get married. I would have a lot of children. And I would be a stay-at-home mom with a big station wagon and the dog in the back. So I had this vision of myself, and it never occurred to me that I would be employed. I was going to be the stay-at-home mom with all the children. And things didn't work out that way. I met John when I was 18. We married after my freshman year in college. And I went to school after I finished college, but I didn't get to finish my last year because we moved to New York, so I had to find another way to do that. And I think women at that time, your whole view of yourself, of my whole view of myself began to change. And when you're still following your husband, but you've got this other part of you that knows you're not going to be driving the station wagon with all the children in the back, you learn to adapt. So I guess what you just asked about living in the Lee House and then becoming mayor, you sort of just do, you deal with what's in front of you. And he wanted to come to Washington and Lee and take the job as dean. We were getting back to the South, and I loved it. We had gone from Atlanta to New York. We were in Iowa, and that's where I did my graduate work, and he started teaching. I would probably have never chosen to live in Iowa, but we did love it. We made wonderful friends there. But you just followed your husband. That's what you did, and you found jobs. And I was the secretary in New York City, and then when I got to, and I taught there also in Central Harlem, and then we moved to Iowa, and I went back to school. Then
were you teaching in public schools?
Public school.
In Harlem?
Junior high school, 120, 120th and Madison Avenue.
And what year was this? When was this?
This was in the 60s.
Okay.
It was an exciting time. But I think women in my age group started out one way, they changed, and you just adapt. And then we got to Virginia, and I thought I'd find a teaching job, and I didn't. And so I went in the admissions office at Washington and Lee, and then we moved into Lee House. And John would say, too, it was one of the sort of happiest times because we both loved what we were doing. But at any rate, he died, and
that was sudden.
Well, he had had cancer, but I did not think John was going to die when he died. The night before he died, it was the end of the summer scholars program. I had people over, the faculty members over for drinks. We were going to the back to UVA the next day, and I thought, well, we're going to get this treatment, and he's going to get better. And I just denied the reality that was probably there, and other people probably saw it, and I didn't. But when he got sick, he said, we're not going to let this define our lives. And in a sense, it does begin to define your life because you have these doctor's appointments all the time and you may be sick or you may not. But he died in July. And I'll never forget a friend from who had been on the Board of Trustees at Washington and Lee came over just to visit with me. And I was still in the Lee House. And I was telling her how I had just loved living there. We had students in and just how wonderful it was. And she basically said, you can't live here forever, you know, and you've got to do something else.
How long was this after?
He died in July and this was September.
Okay.
And I was in, you know, people talk about the stages of mourning, and I was just in shock. I can remember very little about that time, but I remember that conversation because she sort of woke me up. Mm-hmm. And I talked about going back to law school, which is something I sort of wanted to do, and this and that. And she said, well, somehow we got on politics. And she said, you really ought to run for public office. My family had always been interested in politics. As I said, we talked about it all the time, but no one had ever gotten that involved. We'd volunteered in Jack Kennedy's run for president when I was in high school. But it sort of woke me up to the fact that life was really going to be different. I don't know how subconscious that was, but I needed to do something else. So I ran for the House of Delegates the next summer in 2002, and it was an unsuccessful bid.
You just said, I'm going to run for the House of Delegates.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah.
I just said.
I actually can.
She said, you should get into politics. If do you remember Vance Wilkins?
I do.
Yes, well,
of
Vance,
course.
Vance had his problems.
He did.
And one thing led to another, and Vance was asked to leave the General Assembly, and that left that seat open. So I just thought, well, why not? And this friend of mine, I had said, well, what about running for a local office? And she said, the people will, your constituents will be right in your backyard, and it will be very difficult. Now, as it turns out...
Wait a minute. Back up to the House of Delegates. Did you enjoy the campaign?
You know, I did. It was very hard. But every time I got tired, I would say to myself, John had cancer. He kept doing what he had to do, no matter what. And that was just a reminder to me that if you're going to do something, you know, yeah, it'd be nice to go home and take a nap, but that's not going to happen. So, as my son would say to his daughter, buck up and get it done. But anyway, I did enjoy it. I met a lot of people. I think I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I could do things that I really didn't always like to do.
That were uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. It never, I really didn't love standing up and giving speeches. But you learn to do it. And you find you can push yourself to do something that you don't like to do and you don't necessarily see yourself as doing well, but you do them. And so that was very rewarding. And also just meeting the people that I met. And people were so helpful to me. It is a very humbling experience because you think, you know, somebody's giving their time to help me do this, or somebody's giving money. And it's just a very generous thing. And you don't get over just noting that. And then sometimes now I want to write all those people a thank you note and say, I can't believe you did what you did for me. And there were paid people, but there were lots of volunteers. And they invested. You see that they've invested in you.
And your reinvention, sort of.
And my reinvention, yes. Probably some of them were not aware of that so much as I was. Mm-hmm. But people, one woman who owns a shop downtown said something I'll never forget. She said, I can't believe you're doing this when you could just sit home and eat bonbons. And I thought, well, I mean, it never occurred to me, but I guess I could. But it wouldn't, that just wasn't the way that I was raised. You do things. You get out there and you do try to make your little piece of the world a little bit better.
Mimi Elrod got whomped in her 2002 run for the General Assembly. But, ever resilient, in 2003, Ms. Elrod made a successful run for City Council, and the rest is Lexington municipal history. As for her constituents being in her backyard, Mimi Elrod says one of the things she likes best about her job is all the grocery store conversation with Lexington residents about their concerns.